Welcome back to Season Sessions, where we'll take you through all the black news of the week, and you're joined with your host Ada
and your host Hanifa.
And today we have a really special guest, most famous eyebrows in the UK, Munya Chihuahua.
Oh gosh, welcome. Thanks for having me on. It kind of feels weird because I'm like sat side by side with you. So I feel like we're having a conversation at a bus stop, and then you've joined into that conversation.
Yeah, I'm just butting in.
In Croydon that's like trying to chime in. Yeah.
And like our knees are almost touching, but not quite touching. This is everything I dreamed of a podcast.
Yeah,
being,
thank you for making this happen.
We keep it cozy.
I'm glad you got my rider, which is just water and knees touching. Yeah, I'm a simple man.
So we're here. We're going to chat through a lot of things, but I think obviously everybody knows who you are. You're a comedian, online comedian, personality.
Well, we actually have, are you famous in the US? Because we actually have a big US audience.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
So this is a really interesting one. I think the answer to that is partially because you know how there's always kind of this back and forth. UK rappers be like this, US rappers be like this. So one of my characters, the UK's first posh drill rapper, Unknown P, I did a fire in the booth years ago, which for some reason went viral in America over lockdown, to the point where they had Meek Mill was tweeting the lyrics, Doja Cat was tweeting the lyrics, because they all think it's a real person. And recently, I've been tagged in another one of those videos, and it's just all Americans being like, oh my God, I can't believe this is how British people rap. Like, they're literally doing drive-bys on penny farthings. So to some people, I think, you know, maybe do think Unknown P is a little bit famous in America.
So you're the reason why they think we're tea and crumpets. Basically,
100%,
you're representing us the wrong way.
I'm spreading the crumpet slander.
But I guess, like, a lot of your skits are so UK news focused, then they'll just be watching it and be like, who's Nigella?
true. But you know what's crazy, like, I always think that, but you know, people are pretty tapped in thanks to the internet. You know, I came back from Iceland just a couple of days ago, and when I was in Iceland, this guy sort of was like, hey, you're the rapper, and I was like, oh, another microaggression. He was like, no, you're the posh rapper. I was like, wait a minute. I said to him, I was like, how do you know that? And he was like, yeah, because we have British news as well. And he was like, proper Icelandic, like. And he was like, yeah, we've got the internet as well, and we've seen your stuff, and that was crazy. Never underestimate the power of the internet.
Okay.
I think the one life lesson I had, which made me believe that, was I was in Thailand years ago. This was maybe like 2 years after starting my sketches. And I was in the sea, and I started doing a sea wee. We've all done it, okay? I'm not here to be shamed. Started weeing in the sea. And this group of people start to wade closer and closer towards me. And I'm like, no, please don't interrupt the seaweed. Don't step into the seaweed. And they're like, oh my God, it's you, man. It's Unknown P. It's Unknown P. So we're taking a group selfie.
In the wee.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the power of fame, people.
Wow. So those people washed up in your pee.
Some people are like, oh, you need to have a BAFTA or an Oscar to know you've made it. No, it's when you're in Thailand in the sea doing a wee and people are taking a selfie with you.
I think it's crazy that you'd be in the sea and people would come towards you.
I know.
I feel like that is at least the barrier.
Yeah.
If you saw a celeb in the sea, you'd be like, oh, I'll just swim towards
them. I feel like if you saw a person in the sea by themselves, you'd go, I'm going to give them a minute.
Oh,
I'm
do you think wade you automatically over to them. Think pee?
Well, not necessarily pee, just meditation, I'd say. It's between
because you're
that.
Obviously, you're going to come out at one point. You'd just be like, oh, I'd wait for them to come out. I wouldn't go out to sea.
Those are true fans.
Honestly, barriers.
Honestly, man, there's just not enough talk around the etiquette around being in the sea and doing that kind of stuff, which is why I'm so glad we're doing this podcast.
Exactly.
This is what I came here to speak about, yeah.
You can piss yourself to make yourself more comfortable.
Like, I have.
So on the skits, again, because we have, I think we're in like 150 something countries or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
But let's do a little bit of the journey, because like, why did you start doing skits? And then when you try and target people, do you ever think maybe I'd want it? Like, will Nigella ever call you up to be on the show now?
Okay, so what? We're in 150 countries.
I think so.
Let me try and explain globalize it. So I wanted to be a TV presenter. And it was really difficult to do that because the gap for a person to become a TV presenter at that time was so tiny, especially for, you know, people of color. So I decided, look, I want to try and build a following another way. And I started doing these kind of, at first I tried to do relatable humor, like, oh, when you forget your charger, when your girlfriend does this. And I was like, well, for some reason, I'm not, you know, that doesn't seem to suit my skill set because I'm quite interested in the news. Start to make videos about the news, across a couple of years. So it could be anything from Trump to our then Prime Minister Theresa May trying to dance rhythmically in Africa, and then, you know, a chef we had here trying to, you know, sort of playfully appropriate this thing called jerk rice. So it was loads of stuff. And they started to resonate, and my platform grew to the point where I was going back to places I wanted to present. And then I thought, sort of think to myself, do I want to be a presenter anymore? I think I might have found something within this satire space. And then I just continued my journey as a satirist there. So, you know, it's been interesting because there's so much stuff that happens in UK politics. And I think as a big player politically, we do kind of spread to people in Europe know what's happening here. People in America know what's happening here. You know, even people back from Zim, where I'm from, they kind of know bits and pieces. So the nice thing about comedy is even at its base layer, it's kind of a universal language, you know. With regards to Nigella, I have not personally heard from her, but I'm almost certain that she's seen the sketches. And I'm just waiting for that LinkedIn request from Nigella being like, yo, pop out, it's pancake day, let's do this.
But have you ever had an awkward instance of where you've bumped into someone?
Actually, to be honest, I've never had any awkward run-ins. Like, a lot of people ask me this with rappers, they're like, oh, you know, you parodied so-and-so's tracks, have you ever had like an awkward run-in? UK music scene is good vibes to me because everyone I parodied has loved it or pushed it further or whatnot. You know, like I've bumped into people like Heady One or Unknown T and stuff, and like, you know, they're actually kind of like, they feel like buddies, which is super weird because obviously you start out as like a guy from Norwich who's literally, there's no, you know, there's no rap music there, and then suddenly you're sort of having afternoon tea with unknown tea. It's kind of like a really weird full circle. But I did stand in front of Matt Hancock on an escalator once.
Oh,
and felt his breath softly pattering against the back of my neck. Yeah. And it is an experience that I wake up in cold sweats from every evening.
Gosh.
Because, like, fortunately, but unfortunately for you, you're so recognizable.
Yeah.
There's never a thing they're like, maybe that is the guy, but they're
they
like,
know exactly.
The eyebrows give
this
it away.
Yeah. No, they're all like dreading the day they target.
The thing is, I like to think that, you know, even though satire can have a sting to it, I'm more of a sort of slap on the wrist as opposed to rip apart. That's why I kind of, you know, they all say the truth is said in jest and stuff. And, you know, there's different comedic approaches, but mine is always, I kind of want everyone to feel good at the end of it.
Yeah.
So even though kind of like some crazy stuff has happened in the world and I've responded to it, more time it's something that slightly takes the pressure off and takes the sting out as opposed to making people feel worse about stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm a sort of, I think comedy should be about bringing people together as opposed to rifting people apart, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah. How many push notifications do you have on for news? Because you're so quick.
I don't have any.
How do you keep up to date?
I'm just like anyone, you know, I scroll, I see some stuff that, you know, I might see one or two things that kind of then starts a thought chain. Usually it's in the shower that I have my best ideas. I swear that Einstein...
You see, said the same.
Einstein discovered something in the shower, wasn't it? What was it? I don't know, it's probably water or something. It's like, no, what's it? Hey, H2O, that's got a ring to it. But yeah, that's when most of my ideas happen, because I think you're actually incidentally away from a screen. And it's really interesting. You're evolutionarily, you're meant to get bored. You know, like now we have everything and anything to stop us from getting bored. Evolutionarily, you're meant to get bored because that's when you come up with creative problem solving. So I'm still pushing for basically all political meetings to happen. Everyone's in separate shower cubicles, just shouting over the top of them. I think we'd have world peace within like a week.
But do you feel pressure? Because like, okay, we're recording now.
Mm.
Something could pop off right now.
Oh yeah, something has popped
like...
up. At the time of recording, our Home Secretary has been sacked.
Yeah.
And there's been a cabinet reshuffle. So of course, there's a part of me which is kind of like, I shouldn't be here right now. Like, I'm staring at this piece of audio equipment like I wish this was a time machine and that I could freeze time, do the parody, come back. But I think the world has changed a lot since I blew up, which was in lockdown 2020, to the point where now there's so much news all the time. It's impossible to respond to all of it. I feel like it's more of kind of like I've sort of reverted, as opposed to being like a Superman type figure who Superman literally, he can hear every noise and he responds to all of it in a day. I've tried to sort of slip back into more of a Batman role where some stories put the bat signal in the sky and you're like, all right, cool. I got to freaking slick down the eyebrows, get to work with the video. So yeah, I'd love to be responding to everything all the time, but I think if I did that, I'd burn out. There would be no hairline.
Honestly, fingers crossed, like King Charles will fall down the stairs right now. But yeah, we actually thought what would be quite funny is, have you ever thought about your skits being shared in like the MP group chats?
Oh yeah, I have a lot of civil servants follow me who will message me stuff like, oh, we saw the sketch, we've been sharing the sketch. Definitely they've, you know, definitely those sketches have got around some places. And that is a pretty crazy thought to think, like, who's seen my sketches?
Yeah.
So yeah, man, sometimes I think to myself, like, I think it's quite funny thinking about the civil servants thing, because they're not allowed to talk about it, but sometimes they give you the eye and that makes you know, okay, they've seen it and they've enjoyed it, but they can't say anything.
It'll be funny next WhatsApp leak, your name will be
yeah.
And they'll be like, oh, this is why they should be removed, because money is made to skip, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah,
oh
man.
My God. But okay, so now we're... Season shout-outs?
Yeah.
Ready? Mm.
So this is a part where we shout out somebody black who we think has been doing great things. So they could be a person, TV show, event, business.
Okay, cool. I'm going to shout out... I've got a couple, but number one is kind of a bait one. Everyone knows who he is. So Shuti Gatwa from Sex Education.
Yeah. Yes.
I just think, man, I've met him once very briefly, but I didn't have the courage to say what I wanted to say at the time, which was that I just think he's such a talent, like an incredible treasure talent, you know. I love Sex Education as a series, and I just think he's such a, like, a shining gem within that. So give him his flowers, obviously. Didn't have the courage to do it in person, so I'm going to say it to 150 other countries instead. And then the other one is a smaller one, which is quite London-centric, but there's a guy called Pia Sante. He's a friend of mine. He does a thing called Swim Dem Crew, which basically
we shout them out already.
Did the double shout out. It's basically, you know, mobilizing black people to learn how to swim, you know, in a like a safe and enjoyable environment. So at the time of recording, he's got like an exhibition and a screening and a Q&A happening, which is huge for them. And yeah, man, I just think that's a great initiative. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm from Zimbabwe, where, you know, you didn't have a choice how to learn how to swim. Your teacher would push you in the deep end and say, yo, good luck. So I think
the way forward, though.
Yeah, I think things like Swim Den Crew, if we'd had that, you know, that would have been sick. So yeah, also looks great in a pair of Speedos, so probably worth mentioning that as well.
We've said that we end up talking about swimming.
We speak about swimming so much on the podcast.
It always ends up getting
I do think it's false advertising not calling this the swimming podcast. Yeah.
Yeah, swimming sessions.
Season swimming sessions.
Yeah, you know what? We'll have swimming hats on. Yeah.
I want to speak about swimming more, but I'm just like, the listeners must be bored by now.
Exactly. Who's your shout out?
My shout out is AJ Adudu.
Oh,
she's been killing it on Big Brother.
Absolutely love AJ.
Honestly, every look is just 10 out of 10. Mm. And yeah, it's really good. I don't even miss Davina.
Well, you know what?
Well,
No, you know what? I feel like Davina and AJ are cool anyway. But like, Davina was freaking... Like, I met Davina recently. She's absolutely lovely. AJ, again, is like a new generational talent. Yeah. So I feel like, in terms of passing the torch, they really ate and left no crumbs.
Yeah,
that one.
Honestly.
100%.
That's like the freaking Jamaican relay team. Yeah. And they were passing the torch.
But it wasn't even... Who was in between?
Oh, Emma.
Yeah, Emma Willis.
I'm not going to lie. I love her, but I didn't watch Big Brother then.
You skipped. Emma was also really good.
I'm sure she
was. I haven't even watched an episode of it, man. I'm behind.
I hate reality TV and I've gotten so into it and nobody else did.
Because it's too much. There's so much on right now. Like between Maths, Big Brother, Love Island games that they're refusing to give to us. And then Love Island All Stars is coming out. Like, the jungle one is about to happen. Like,
I might have to watch that.
Actually be watching that. But
this is why I'm sticking to Minions movie and that's it. Do you know what I mean? That is all my entertainment needs met.
There's about six of them.
I know, that's why I'm still working my way through.
If they called you up for I'm a Celeb, would you go on?
Too afraid of spiders, man.
Really?
I can't. The spider. Yo, yesterday there was a spider. I was folding clothes, right? You see, people always talking about karma, whatnot, yeah? I'm folding clothes. I'm making my wardrobe a better place. I see this big spider on the sleeve. I jumped onto the chair. It was a swivel chair. So I'm now spinning around. This spider's crawling around. I thought, listen, if I'm being held hostage in my own room right now by a spider, there's no way I can go on a show where they're going to make me eat a spider.
I think you could do it.
No.
Yeah, all you have to do is say you love spiders.
Nope.
Yeah. And then they don't give you spiders.
No, but that's it. If you say you're scared of heights, all of a sudden you're jumping from a helicopter. I'll just be like,
oh, yeah,
I love helicopters. Yeah. I love spiders. I love donkey's testicles. They'll never make me touch them.
This should be the soundbite for the whole podcast. Don't even put the context in. Just play that out as a soundbite.
This is my audition tape. Get me to the jungle.
But I think that spiders is a very rational fear, though.
Do you know that?
Yeah, it's because the spiders have very angular bodies, like very triangular shapes. No one's afraid of like ladybirds.
I'm more scared of ladybirds.
You haven't been attacked
no.
by a ladybird.
Yeah,
you
have, you're ladybirds don't even like, have teeth.
That's
they
not
like
true.
They like airdrop their food.
Some that of the orange, true. The orange ones. You know about the orange ones?
No, you're looking into this too far. Ladybirds are harmless.
In uni, I had a ladybird infestation in my room.
Yeah, I heard about those.
And I got bitten to shit. Like, I was, initially, I was like, oh my God, this is so cute. Wake up, head to toe bites. Where the fuck is this come from? They are violent creatures. They're actually not that nice.
Yeah, man.
And they poo on you all the time.
So far, just to keep track with everyone, we've talked about swimming. We've encouraged people to swim, and we've also warned against the dangers of ladybirds. Yeah. But we're doing the Lord's work.
This is how we got to 150 countries.
Yeah, facts. It's like a UN meeting right now.
Yeah. Who's your shout out, Adam?
My shout out is my brain just completely blanked. Hazel Monet for being the youngest Grammy nominated.
Ooh, yeah, that's a
Victoria
great
Monet's
shout.
Kid.
Uh-huh. Wait, she's the kid Wait. Is nominated.
Yeah, because she's in the album.
Oh yes,
so she's the youngest person to ever receive.
Yeah,
a
I was going
to
hear. So Victoria Monet got what, like seven nods?
Nominations.
Seven nominations.
Yeah.
Oh, fair.
Seven nominations, but because the album is nominated, Hazel is in it, and that's what she deserves because wow. She's a genius.
That's lit.
I follow her on everything.
How old is she?
She's two.
Okay. Yeah, no. But there's no even point carrying on the podcast. If someone's got a Grammy nomination at two, what have we achieved? Yeah.
Exactly. She's beat us already. She sings, she dances.
Mm. Well, good for
she
her.
Works out with her dad. Like, me and I'm following Hazel every step of the way. Can't
she's
wait
can't
for
even
her
walk.
Acceptance speech.
You're following her every crawl of the way, man.
She's, you
so
know,
you can't even walk
like,
up to.
She's doing more than me. Mm. You've got to flow on a child's coattails.
Yeah, man.
Because I'm not going to make it now. So I'm just like, I'm following the kids and... Maybe I'll be on her PR team.
Oh yeah, believe me. As soon as I have a kid, they are going to be making YouTube videos from the point that they come out of the womb. And be like, "What's up, guys? Make sure you subscribe. Thank you to our ad partner today."
Yeah, because what the richest guy on YouTube is like that 9-year-old.
What?
Yeah, it's like Ryan Rates or something like that.
He reviews toys.
Yeah, because who better
Who's
to review
watching
toys?
Them? Kids watching toy reviews
right
of
now.
Why are they He's playing
like,
with toys?
Right now, he gets the biggest spike because people don't know what to buy their kids
yes,
for Christmas.
Right.
You go to a kid for a review. Mm. I don't care what Argos says. I want to know what Ryan said.
Mm.
And Ryan gets so... he's like a millionaire, multimillionaire.
Yeah. I feel, That's so, what I, you I feel sorry because you know the Argos reference you just made. There's going to be people who won't know what it was like getting that big catalogue, turning to the toys page, the aroma of the Argos catalogue.
Getting
can't
stealing
beat
the pen.
Yo,
yes.
I need a Yankee, I need a Yankee candle that smells of the Argos catalogue.
Yeah,
does
so
smell it.
If they're, for the millions listening at home, this is what I want to be gifted.
I think you can still get them.
No, what, an Argus scented candle?
They're thin now.
No, not
Argus. That's what I'm here
the
for.
The catalogue, they're like this thin now. But you wanted that thick,
chunky thing.
Yeah,
man.
That you could like hit somebody with.
Yeah, real ones, no.
Yeah. I might go and find my... I'm sure my mum... My mum's a hoarder. I'm sure my... yeah, sure my
there'll be one
from 2004 in there.
Yeah, exactly. So, do you know what?
I was going to say, shall we talk about why you're here?
Yeah, why not? I think that I think we've come to an end of the ladybird chat, so this feels like a good segue.
Yeah, it's like the same topic.
So we last week dropped a very exciting campaign with Malibu, which is part of their night out safety campaign, and it's essentially what to do in the event of a spiking. So it all stems from this idea that everyone should be able to go out and have a good time with their pals, but also at the same time knowing how to have each other's back.
Yeah.
And I think it was something like 3/4 of people actually wouldn't know what to do in the event of a spiking. I got a little sister who's at university, and I remember, in the first week, one of her friends actually had something like that. And so when I sort of heard that they were doing this and that they wanted to kind of find a way to communicate that information in a way that's kind of memorable and catchy, I thought, that's sort of the whole ethos of my comedy, which is, say something important in a memorable way or in kind of like an entertaining way. So we've got an acronym, which is BABES, right?
Or a BABES.
Yep. So BABES, B-A-B-E-S, and like the different letters stand for different things you should do. So first of all, you buddy up with a pal, so make sure they're kind of not alone. And then A is you're going to like alert bar staff and security, like the people around who can, then call the emergency services. Then you've got to keep chatting to them. Then you call the emergency services and then switching to water. So it's all really easy stuff. Mm-hmm. But, again, like I mentioned, 3/4 of people might not know to do that. And also it's something that affects both. I think obviously maybe for some guys, they play off as something that wouldn't happen to a guy. but near enough, it's the same numbers, which is sort of 40% of guys and girls have experienced something that they thought was spiking. So I think it's just about giving young people especially like a toolkit in the same way I would, you know, vote in the elections mm-hmm. or, you know who your MP is, write to your MP and stuff. This is kind of like another one of those things where it's like, you know, have a great time, but also know what to do if things go left.
For sure. Mm. I think that people panic in situations so much so that, and there also isn't a lot of training, because even yesterday, mm-hmm. and obviously this is coming out a couple of weeks later, but I was at the Victoria Monet concert last night, and as we were exiting, a guy like passed out on the stairs.
Yeah.
I was like, this is like, his friend, they were French, so also it was like we're trying to communicate, it was going over the heads, and I was like, can somebody put him in the recovery position? And loads of people were like, what's that? I was like, if somebody passes out in front of you, you need to know what to do. Like, even like small first aid-y things.
Yeah.
If you get spiked, there's so many different levels of spiking. And there's like, people either collapse or you just have no memory or whatever. It doesn't mean that you would always like just like collapse on the floor. But if you see somebody go through that before you race to medical services, obviously, because you're going to be the first one there, people do also need to have like the bare minimum of first aid skills and learn to put people in a recovery position so that if there is a situation where you do end up throwing up, you're not like choking on your own sick, or you can at least make sure that they're in a comfortable position, like, you know, when you're where your blood's not rushing to the back of your head, or like, not because you've cracked it, but you know, the position like you're lying and stuff like that. But people just don't know that, because I was like trying to pull him over and got some random girls back to put underneath his head, because you need to keep him a little bit elevated. So, but there's so many steps that I think, I don't know why they should just teach that in school.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because there was actually, there's like a brilliant reference of like a similar campaign, which was, you know, how to deliver CPR, which was the British Heart Foundation and Vinnie Jones, sort of in his character. And, you know, that did really well. And it was to the beat of, to the beat of Staying Alive. Yeah. And so when something similar was pitched for this, and they were like, you know, Munya, would you get involved with a song? Yeah, you know, it'd be sort of kind of like an R&B song, and you might have to get those vocals going. I was like, if I must, the R&B just started flowing. So I feel like, you know, if you can find a way of, like I said earlier, communicating something important through a way that's also memorable, you know, that's a win-win. So really happy to be involved, and I think. I have very varied demographic, actually. I don't know whether you guys feel like this as well, but I feel like the new generation of like, you know, young people going through college, going through uni, are super switched on and stuff, and super receptive to this kind of thing. So it's just about putting the right information out for them to see.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think the acronym's really good, because when you're drunk, you just kind of forget anything.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, babes. I think I like to think that hopefully I was thought of for that campaign, because the girlfriend character, which I do, which I literally did as a fluke last year, has sort of got me embraced in the hun culture, which I'm still learning stuff about. I don't know if I don't know if I am a hun yet, but I feel like I've been embraced somewhat by the community, which is great.
That's cool. I think like also this is good too. There is a bit of stigma around spiking. I think people, it's not your fault that you've been spiked. If you get spiked, people don't want to admit it or at least seek the help to find it. And also, there's also a thing of like, you feel that something has gone completely wrong, but you don't either have the language or the know-how to even figure it out. I was spiked in my freshers year, but I was like, something really weird has happened, but I have absolutely no idea. Somebody pushed me to go to the doctor, and I had a full blood test, and they were like, they confirmed to me that I was spiked, because I was like, I got home, I was like, I barely drank, because also I went home early, but then there was loads of stories, and people were like, oh, you were with this person and they took you home, blah blah blah, had no memory of the night. The only thing that pieced together was club photos, RIP to them. But club photos pieced my night together, but I was like, there's no way that I was that drunk, because I barely drank. And then luckily I was like safe and whatever didn't happen, but when I went to the hospital, they were like, yes, you were spiked.
Yeah.
And I was so embarrassed, because I thought it was my fault. Yeah. And I was like, but it's not my fault. Like, somebody went to spike me, but it wasn't my fault. But I was so embarrassed, because you feel embarrassed that you put yourself in a position. But again, it has nothing to do with you. If somebody's targeting you, there's absolutely nothing you can do about that.
But I suppose that's why this campaign is so good, because then it's like speaking to the guys as well as the girls, because it's not just like one guy going out. Well, it might be, but if it's a group of guys, like they need to be aware of spiking.
Oh, absolutely. And also I think there are wider implications from the campaign as well. So I know that, you know, we're going to be working with Spike Out Stamping to actually inform some sort of nightclub and bar staff to know about the acronym, and then also maybe what to do in the event, or how they might then feed into the help, you know, the procedure of helping, you know, as we mentioned, like them being alerted and then helping with the emergency services and the water and stuff. So I think in short, it's knowledge is power, isn't it? It's if you know what to do, and as many people as possible know what to do, hopefully what you then do is kind of equip people to deal with it and then minimize the problem. That's what we hope anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think it's great. Yeah.
Well, I think as you mentioned, if people are in groups, I feel like, especially uni times, for me personally, I had such a range of people in my uni groups.
Yeah.
Where I had the mechanical engineer who was busy trying to figure out the chemical composition of the cocktail he just ordered. And then we'd had the people who were just out to party. I feel like, you know, you're going to end up with such a mixture of people. It's kind of, even if you feel like you may not be at risk, it's just, you know, what to do if someone in your group is.
Yeah, it's important to know. Yeah.
It was quite strange sort of throwing back to uni times and, you know, going on nights out and stuff, because obviously my sister's at uni now.
Yeah.
And like there, you know, it sounds like things have changed massively in terms of what you do at uni now. Mm. Like more times I'll call her and I'll be like, oh no, I know you're out. Why not? She'll be like, no, we're just doing flat chess.
What?
And I'm like, what happened? Like, what happened?
Flat chess.
Yeah, they're doing like a flat chess match.
That sounds cool though.
Yeah,
it does sound cool. Yeah. I'm not chess shaming. It's true. I'm just saying, you know.
But I get that, because I spoke to somebody and I was like, I think I was speaking to my cousin. We were just talking about nights out, and I asked, oh, what time are you going for pre's? And she went, for what?
No.
I was like, pre's was the best part for me, but because they're not drinking. I think the binge culture has changed drastically.
That's a good thing.
Like before, you were truly going out to be smashed, but they're not like pre-ing to like make it cheaper. But then you're pre-ing to a point where you're already drunk and you're stumbling in the club, and then you're like there for like maybe an hour, then you're rolling back out. But they're not pre-ing.
They have a better idea.
They're
than
actually
us.
Wide-eyed in that club.
Well, I got a big confession to end on, which is I for so long at uni thought that pre was a person.
Oh.
Because everyone would say we're going to pre's, and I'm like, how big is her house? Everyone is always going to pre's. Like, when does this girl have time to study? And then someone told me it was pre-drinks.
That's like,
so to 150 countries out there, all my street cred is just gone.
To be fair, I have a worse thing for it. I couldn't find my uni library the whole first year.
Oh.
Because I kept going into where they said there was a library, and I would look around and I was like, there's no books in here.
What was it?
There was, because it was a really weird, you went in and there was a corridor that you had to walk down for ages, but the day when they were showing people around stuff, I was asleep, so I didn't go.
Classic.
And so I missed where you were supposed to get the books. So because I was so panicked, I just bought all the books.
Did you not think to maybe ask someone?
Shame is a big factor in my life.
Shame stops you from a lot of stuff.
Shame stops me from a lot. And because people were talking about going to the library, I was like, so people know and I don't know, I'm an idiot. Yeah. So I'll just buy all.
You should have gone around to Pri. She's got loads of books.
But yeah, it happens. It happens. Yeah.
Yeah, we all have flaws.
Shame, it's like...
not me.
Yeah.
But okay, on shame, and shame is fair.
Mm.
So there was a tweet going around, and it was about what was your most irrational fear as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Hanifa has made me swear that I would not use this against her in later life.
You know, my heart is going now, even thinking about talking about it.
What your irrational fear was?
Yeah. It still is.
What? Go on.
I can't explain it.
Mm.
But I'm deathly terrified of polystyrene.
You know what? I get that.
I hear that.
Because the sound of polystyrene.
Yeah, even talking about it.
My toes are doing back right now.
And
So you're afraid of it though?
I can't have it near me in the room.
So what happens when someone buys you
Christmas was so stressful. Mm. We'd have to like take the boxes outside. My mum would have to get rid of the stuff for me.
I get it though.
That's a great, that is a proper one. I can just about handle the noise, but even thinking about it's making just, me.
I can't handle the noise. No, I can't handle the noise.
I can't touch it with
so
my bare hands.
People hate it though. Why do they continue it? Like, so it's many good people
in,
it hate
it's good for putting the stuff in.
Put bubble wrap in instead.
Yeah, bubble wrap. Although I used to be afraid of balloons popping.
Oh, that is
the
a good
unpredictability
one.
Of the yeah. noise. You know, and then you've got these kids who are like literally elbow dropping balloons left, right and centre. And I always used to be just stood in the corner with my fingers in my ear. Headphones on, listening to polystyrene being scratched.
Oh, no.
Anything,
God.
Anything better than the balloons.
I think I am still a bit scared because I catch myself running away from it a lot.
Mm.
But I'm scared of the toilet flush at night. And it stemmed what? From the night I watched The Mummy for the first time.
Mm.
I was so scared for some reason. There must have been something in there with water.
Mm.
But I've never watched The Mummy again since I was maybe 9 or 10 because that was it for me. Mm-hmm. But ever since then, I couldn't flush the toilet at night because I believe that if I flush the toilet at night, something will come through the bowl and drag me under.
Mm.
So I would like, my mum said that she would catch me with like a stick outside of the bathroom. So then I would be able to like flush and then run. But now even today, I catch myself like... I catch myself going to the toilet at like 2 a.m. and I flush and I like really sprint out of there. And I'm like, in my head, it's irrational, but I know that I'm still scared of the toilet flush.
It is a bit irrational because no one, you'd really have to have something bad happen when someone flushed the toilet, but they don't flush the toilet in The Mummy. I don't think the pyramids.
Oh, yeah,
had...
is there even a toilet no, in
I
the mummy?
Not what in pyramids.
I don't know because I haven't rewatched it, but for some reason in my head, those two things are linked. So it was either that I was so scared at night because I watched The Mummy and used the toilet, it just has linked it.
Or maybe you're just like super eco-conscious. You're like, I know if I flush this toilet, if I don't flush this toilet, I have saved the environment one piece.
I don't
so
know.
So actually, it's not a weakness, it's a strength.
Climate change is a scary
thing.
I have
a lot of toilet fears, to be honest.
Mm. I have aeroplane toilets.
I think
toilets
something's happened to me on a toilet. It's probably repressed that I can't remember. But I always like, if I start... If I am dreaming and I dream of a toilet,
no.
It's over.
No,
as a kid, if I dreamt of a toilet as a child, I'd piss the bed.
Yeah, that's still, no, to this day.
This is the full circle we needed in the podcast.
Yeah, no, you must have had the dream too.
No.
You've never had the dream?
No. You've never had the toilet dream?
This is embarrassing.
No, I'd be dreaming about freaking Yankee candles that smell of, what was it?
But if you ever dream that there's a toilet, you're going toilet,
you
in
are
the dream,
peeing.
Do not go toilet.
You are if a toilet appears in your dream, you are pissing the bed. It's over.
Do not use it.
Again, this is a great non-context soundbite. This is just life wisdom being dished out.
But I haven't dreamed of the toilet in many years.
Yeah,
okay, so
I'm gonna dream of it tonight.
We should rank the irrational fears. So who has the most irrational? Who's has the best one? I feel like polystyrene.
You've not
is
said
not,
yours yet.
I did
though.
Balloons.
Oh, the balloons.
That's your
like
whole
mine's
fear.
Top.
That's a normal fear. People, loads of people are scared of balloons.
Come on, give us something more scary.
Well, it has to be irrational though.
Yeah.
I used to get scared of like mugs because I thought that my foot was going to get stuck in them.
What?
You know how people always like leave tea mugs next to the settee when they finish drinking them. I always used to be afraid that I'd put my foot in it, it'd be the perfect shape. So then my foot would be stuck forever because if you smashed it, it would cut me. So I just have to walk around like mug foot.
Did you put your foot in mugs?
You definitely put your foot in the mug.
I didn't put my foot in mugs.
You
but what I'm saying
you
is
were
the
foot
thought
in
of
mug.
Having to clomp around school with one Wallace and Gromit mug on one foot and then a knife on the other.
Had you seen it before?
Like
no.
A high heel?
No.
Yeah,
what
like Lady Gaga
have
style.
You ever looked at, have you ever yeah, looked at a mug and thought that is the perfect, you know, width foot of my foot.
No, but I will now.
Anyway, we've talked about irrational fears. Not called tell us your most logical fear, is it? So I think I'm first, you're second,
yeah.
You're third. The toilet thing is just strange.
What do you is mean? It, wait, what? Are we ranking it in
yeah,
strangeness
just in terms
or
of
best?
Like the most relatable and also best.
I think toilets are relatable. Like toilets
are
scary.
I've been watching people's face in this room. No one has resonated with the toilet.
Everyone's like,
nodding away when I was talking about the mug stuff.
Do you know
so
what? Our audience in Australia will be on my side. They're getting toilet fare every day.
Nah, man. Mug foot's a big thing out in Oz. Trust me. Being Perth one time, they're going to get everyone just walking around with one mug on their foot.
Has the mug got tea in it?
No, it's
or
empty.
Or just empty.
Is it
empty.
Kind of still wet inside, though?
I don't
even
know.
That's even worse.
Teabagging?
I haven't thought about this fear in depth. I try not to dwell on it.
Sorry, it's a bit too close.
It's quite triggering.
The leaving a teabag thing, that actually broke my... Leaving a mug near the bed, that actually broke my phone one time. My phone fell off my bed while I was sleeping, and I woke up and it had literally been sitting in my tea the whole night. And Rice did not, honestly, like, really.
How are you here today?
I think you could have like a gremlin type film, but like it's mugs and how they destroy society. Firstly, all our phones fall into the mugs. Oh shit.
Then you get your
nobody's phone is working. And then they start attacking the feet. Now we're all mug people praying to the giant mug in the sky.
So you see, this you've taken it too far now. I had it Lionsgate at the perfect level, and you've taken it too far.
And that would make you feel more rational.
Yeah, if you did all of that just to help me feel less afraid of mugs, I would appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm here to help you.
So I've won the irrational fear challenge.
Yeah, you've definitely won the irrationality.
So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great. Well, I've achieved everything I came onto this podcast to do. I came on here with one goal and I have achieved it.
But on that, I think we have a problem solved.
We do. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
So I'm going to solve someone else's problem.
Well, we're going to decide who's the arsehole.
Oh, okay.
Mugs or you?
Mugs. Am I the arsehole? By the way, I have problems with reading. So you'll find out.
She doesn't have problems.
It's a rational fear of words.
Yeah, it's actually quite rational.
So is this somebody who tells us a situation, and then we have to figure out if they're wrong?
Who's in the right, who's in the wrong? All right, and how do they solve it?
Okay.
How do they work together with their differences? Am I the arsehole for telling my girlfriend that her phobia is ridiculous? My girlfriend has a very severe phobia of cold things. We live in England, so this is an issue for like half the year. She refuses to touch anything that might be cold, including the floor with her feet in winter, door handles, walls, cold water, absolutely anything. She has to run a full bath of very hot water before she has a shower to make sure the floor isn't cold. There's a lot more, another paragraph about other cold things that she won't do.
Every cold thing in the world.
It's winter in the UK right now, so her phobia is in full swing. It's getting ridiculous to see her refusing to do anything because she might touch something cold. On Thursday, she left her slipper boots on the other side of the bedroom, so she called in sick at work and stayed in bed all day. Damn. When I got back from work, she woke up, she was desperate for the toilet, really hungry and distressed. Why didn't she call... Don't laugh.
Sorry. It was the, yeah.
Did she pee the bed?
No, go on, Karen.
No, that would make it cold. Why didn't she call someone to help her? Her phone was on the window ledge and it was cold. I told her that the situation is ridiculous and she needs to get help because we can't live like this. And it's really impractical for her to do no work because of this. It's super annoying. And she's extremely upset and told me that I'm an arsehole for not taking her seriously. She said she realised it's ridiculous, but she can't help it. Just to add, she's okay with going outside in the cold air. She just won't touch anything cold.
Oh, that was an emotional roller coaster. My advice is.
I have the same advice every problem.
Okay.
Break up.
Break up shit.
No, she's...
She didn't start the phobia with him. He met her with a phobia. So if you don't like it, why did you pursue her? Did you meet in the summer months?
It's not sort of the thing, the first thing you'd think to bring up, is it? You know, you're at a restaurant and you're going, no, I won't have ice in my glass just because I will actually scream if I touch the glass. I think it sounds like a very rash. Well, there's probably a link to something cold related.
Yeah, she might have been trapped in the freezer.
So maybe, I don't know, maybe he can give one more chance and try and figure out. Because does it say whether he found out why she has the phobia?
No, she just has it. She doesn't seem to be that bothered about finding out why. It's more about the here and now.
I think there's two prongs to this. If you have a phobia of the cold, you need to set your life up properly where you're not touching the cold things. Like, you can't be like, oh, my booties are on the other side. If you were like that deep in it, my shoes would be on the bottom of the bed. So I'm sorry, so I can move. And why would you leave your phone on the windowsill if you don't like cold things?
That's the thing.
But I don't.
Or just turn on the heating.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, so that feels like a good solution.
Yeah, I'd
say don't break up. Just turn on the heating and see if that helps. That's my input.
But she then only drinks. He's like a running hot person. Sorry, that's too hot for me.
Do you want some more context?
Go on.
She only drinks tea and coffee because she only drinks hot drinks, so she's got hyped up on caffeine.
You're
all
making
the
that
time.
Up. No, you're making it. It can't be.
But she could also just do hot chocolate. She doesn't need the caffeine.
Sometimes she has hot juice.
Yeah, no, hot Vimto is good though. Yeah,
hot Vimto is good.
But yeah, my last contribution would be that I also don't like particularly like drinking cold water. I don't get the hype around it. It makes your teeth cold, it makes your throat cold. So I'm with her on the lukewarm water. I'd say, yeah, look, whack on the heating, put the anything cold, just put it on the radiator, let it warm up for a bit, sorted.
Yeah.
And then go on holiday more.
That's true, actually. Just try and get away from it.
To be fair, she should just move. If you don't like cold weather, you need to leave this country.
There's many reasons to leave this country anyway.
But that's an actual big one for you. Mm. Go to somewhere where it's hot all the time. You should be living in like South America or something.
Yeah. Maybe she's literally just trying to communicate, yo, I think we should go on holiday.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's what he should do, treat her to a holiday.
So I'd say he's the asshole.
He is the asshole though. She's told you she has a phobia. You don't believe it. Do you think somebody's going to put that much amount of effort in to avoid cold things for a lie?
Stop being a bumhole and relocate to South America.
But honestly, I think she should break up with you. Just get a new partner. That appreciate
move to South America together. Yeah. I like the happy ending.
I think move to South America and get a new partner in South America.
What if he hates the heat? Mm-hmm. Are you just describing the plot of that Disney film Elemental, where one of them's a flame and one of them's like an ice drop?
This is basically it.
You've just read out the film plot, haven't you?
That's essentially it. That's exactly it. Okay, well, thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on. I think we had a nice chat.
Yeah, I think we
covered a whole spectrum of things that they'll be lucky to listen into.
Exactly.
If I'm being honest. There's something for everyone.
No, though, it's a mixed bag.
It is a mixed bag.
But that's what people want us for.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I enjoyed it.
We jump a lot.
I guess one question I had for you guys is, you're in 150 countries. Do either of you know another language?
No.
We are familiar with a few.
Right. Well, I'm just going to say this. This is my mic drop moment. Diamond League on Duolingo. Can't get any higher than that.
What language?
Duolingo in Spanish.
Oh, you can't say something.
Go on.
Something. Algo. That is literally something.
That's well the played. Most direct.
So I'm going to close the podcast in Spanish.
Go on, then.
Gracias, la gente, por escuchar el podcast. Y soy, me llamo Muña Chihuahua y, that's everything I needed to say.
Hasta luego, guys.
And no one can check it. Adios. No one can check what I've just said.
I'm a bit jealous. I mean, I can't do languages.
All right, well, you say hasta pronto, you say
hasta pronto.
Hasta luego. And
hasta luego.
Fine. Hasta luego. See you next week.
Adios.
Adios. Bye. Where can people find out more about the campaign?
Okay, so go on to your search engine, type in Malibu I Got You Babes, and it will take you to their website. And their partner, Stamp Out Spiking, has also got a load of resources on there. So all the info you need, all the resources, just type that in.
Fantastic. And we'll have all the links in our bio.
Amazing.
Thank you.